Dear congregation here tonight, David makes his humble plea for the salvation of the Lord, which, as we will note tonight, is an evidence of favour and further the mercy of the Lord. The believer has not deserved in any way the answer to their prayers, nor the Lord's salvation, nor do we merit God's salvation. Yet, though their case be very trying in this world, and their sorrows great, they can be in expectation that salvation or deliverance will surely come. We see that here in this verse. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Now through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are and we will be blessed. The Lord will come to our aid. The storms will give way to calm waters of peace and joy. The valley will give way to the mountains of blessing. The Lord will not forget. His salvation will come in accordance to his word and because of his amazing and abundant favour. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Here's his plea, and he utters this plea in faith, for as you note through this section, he believes he will be able to go forward, and he will be able to speak and serve the Lord. He will be able to keep the commandments. He doth believe that the Lord will come to his aid. Now, as you note this section, it's plain that David was in some difficulty. Just note verse 22, rather verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. He was in some difficulty. Yet he was trusting in the Lord. He had focused upon him, and he was waiting in expectation. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. You see the ground of his expectation there. Particularly we focus, he was believing in the promise of God. He was in expectation the Lord would come and help him. I know some of the children are waiting for the snow, so they can go outside and feel the snow coming down on them and play in it with great delight. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, we can be in expectation that soon, like the snow, we will feel God's mercies coming down upon us, brightening our hearts. Well, let's come directly now to these words. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. First of all, tonight, the humble plea for God's salvation. The humble plea for God's salvation. Secondly, the ground of expectation. And then thirdly, the gracious application. Firstly, the humble plea for God's salvation. Secondly, the ground of expectation. And then thirdly, the gracious application. And we note that in the whole of the psalm. The psalmist is helped here. He can go forward. He believes he will be doing certain things because the Lord, in a gracious way, will apply salvation. The humble plea for God's salvation, the ground of expectation, the gracious application. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Well, first of all then, the humble plea for God's salvation. We need God and his salvation this very night, on the morrow, and on every day of our lives. We need God's mercies or God's salvation to come, to fall upon us as the snow falls upon the head. We need God's mercy, we need God's salvation to come and enfold all around us. For we travel through a wilderness in which we face many a battle and many a storm. It's so hard to press forward at times. There's a raging battle, and we can feel the barrenness of this world. It's like a wilderness we need help on our journey. We need help as we make our pilgrimage here upon earth, until then, at the end, we take our leave and go safely home to heaven above. We need God's mercies as we make our journey. We need God's salvation. Notice what the psalmist says here. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. He thinks of the mercies, or the mercy or favour of God, and he particularly focuses, as he does, on God's salvation. What a great favour, what a glorious mercy is God's salvation. And I'm sure already you know where this is going to end, with a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's salvation. But a psalmist found himself in difficulty. His enemies were causing him much trouble, and in his heart, being affected by that trouble, he stirred up and he makes this plea. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. The trouble has affected his heart. But not only that, but also he has a sense of his own weakness and sin. Let thy mercies come also unto me. He so desires the Lord to come and so help him, to deliver, to show his arm of salvation. He needed the Lord. There were those that opposed him. He was in difficulties. He felt his weakness and further his sin. Let's just open this up a little. We're thinking here of this humble plea for God's salvation. He knows he needs God's salvation, first of all, because of his enemies. Let's just come with me to the third Psalm, verses 1 and verse 2. The third Psalm, verses 1 and verse 2. Lord, how are they increased that troubled me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. There were a number speaking against David. There is no help for him in God. Oh, the psalmist makes his humble plea. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. There were those who spake against him. He needed God's salvation. He needed divine assistance. He had his enemies, and so do we. Note those words again in Psalm 3, verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And you know there are those outside saying that of you and me. Look at those poor afflicted Christians suffering in this world. Are they going to be helped? They mock at you. There is no help for him or her in God. The trials seem just to mount up on them. The valleys get deeper. The storms get more challenging. Where is their God? They just have one trial after another. Those who oppose Christ can think that about you. And they can even speak to you about it. We need God's salvation. Just notice verse 42 again. So David desired to answer those that reproached him, and we desire to answer those who speak against us, whatever his enemies. Secondly, he feels his weakness. He's been in a battle. The enemies were strong, and he feels his weakness. Psalm 6 verse 2, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. Have mercy, Lord, I'm weak. And we know what that is like. We feel our weakness at times. We're going forward in the battle. We're wading through the rivers of affliction. And yes, we know help from heaven, but oh, we feel our weakness at times. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. But then thirdly, in view of his sin, he needed God's salvation. Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. He needed God's mercy. Have mercy upon me. He needed God's salvation. That's what he's desiring here. And dear brothers and sisters, we get to that point, do we not? When we so see our need, we make a humble plea, Lord, come and help me. Help me in view of those that oppose thee. Help me in view of my weakness. Help me in view of my sin. Oh, let thy mercies come unto me. I need thee. But you know, though we may feel our weakness, it's a sign of strength when we cry out to the Lord that he would come and help us. You see, our faith is being strengthened. How I so need the Lord today. I may feel weak, but my faith is being strengthened. I'm looking to thee. Come, Lord, and so bless me. He makes this humble plea for God's salvation. Firstly, he was in need of temporal deliverance. Deliverance from his enemies. Deliverance from distress. And so he makes this humble plea. We look for temporal deliverance. We face situations and that affect us, maybe our home life, maybe our bodies, and we look for deliverance. Secondly, the psalmist, he was in need of spiritual and eternal salvation. He was in need of spiritual and eternal salvation. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. Now he was a saved man. Yet he looked for further application of God's salvation, of spiritual and eternal salvation. Let's just think about this. We've been delivered from bondage. There's been that blessed application. We've been justified. Initial sanctification. We're adopted. Blessed be the name of God. But we look for preservation. The preserving of our souls. We look for deliverance at death. And then we look for the final part of the application of redemption or salvation. Romans 8 verse 23. Glorification or the redemption of the body. You see, we're looking for further application of God's eternal salvation. Temporal deliverance or salvation, but spiritual and eternal salvation. Now we can be thankful as we look back tonight. What the Lord has done for our souls already. Yet we look to the future. Let thy mercies come, Lord. Help me. Preserve my soul. Make me more holy. Make me to mortify the deeds of the flesh more and put on the new man. He's looking for God's salvation. He was in a battle with sin. As a believer, he looked for further fatherly forgiveness, for deliverance from besetting sins. And doth not besetting sins wear us down at times? We take two steps forward and then we go a few back. The besetting sin, and we all know our besetting sins. Oh Lord, let thy mercies come, even thy salvation. Help me, O Lord, with those besetting sins. May I know further fatherly forgiveness. We've known judicial forgiveness and justification. And we'll never know condemnation. But oh, we need fatherly forgiveness. Let thy salvation come, Lord. Sanctification. I begin with myself. I want to be so much more holy before I see Jesus than I am tonight. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. Make me holy. The Lord gives us the exhortation, be ye holy, for I am holy. Oh, to be in more conformity to the Lord's command. Let thy salvation come. Make me more holy. Thus make me more like Christ. The preservation of the soul. We already dealt with that. He looked for that deliverance from sin at death. Let thy salvation come. What a work of God it will be when we say goodbye to sin once and for all. What a tremendous change is coming on that great day, as Job makes plain, but also at death. And what a work of grace when our souls are made just at the point of death. Let thy salvation come, Lord, and then glorification. Oh, we're longing for that, aren't we? Let thy salvation come. Let redemption be complete. That is the application of it. Well, he's looking here, and he makes this humble plea for the salvation of the Lord. In his trials, he needed temporal deliverance, but he also looked for that spiritual and eternal salvation. And dear brothers and sisters, are we not the same? We may have a situation before us and we pray for some deliverance, but we're also praying for help in the situation, for growth in grace, for deliverance, for salvation. We might be more holy. Here's David's humble plea. Let thy mercies come unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. More of the Lord's hand of salvation we desire in our lives, do we not? But before we move on, as we consider this humble plea for God's salvation, are we not led to consider the Lord Jesus Christ? As Simeon did in Luke 2, verse 27 through to verse 30. And he, by the Spirit, he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Thy salvation. It's the name of Jesus. Jehovah saves. God's salvation. And so when we come to verse 41, we can have an eye to our blessed Redeemer. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. Now in verse 41, we're led to consider the name of Jesus. Thy salvation. Remember Simeon? He held Jesus in his arms and he blessed God, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And there's a thought here. What a blessing. That with the eye of faith we're led to consider Christ as God's salvation. And we make our humble plea, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. Let Jesus come. Here is a humble plea in light of the New Testament for Jesus. And is that not seen in Psalm 80? Deliverance and blessing comes through him who is on the right hand of the Father. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. And we with a clearer sight than what David had, we can make our plea for Jesus. How much we need Jesus tonight. How much we need Jesus tomorrow. How much we need the Lord Jesus Christ in the storms we face and the battles. How much we need the Lord Jesus Christ in the valleys. And God's salvation comes to us in the valleys, as the psalmist made known in Psalm 23, verse 4. How we need our friend to comfort us, our shepherd to lead us, and our Redeemer to deliver us. Make your humble plea for Jesus tonight. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. Simeon, he's taken up with Jesus when he speaks of God's salvation. We need temporal deliverance. We need further application of that spiritual and eternal salvation. We need Jesus. We need Jesus tonight, don't we? And we need him tomorrow. We have many an enemy. How we need our friend who is in the court of heaven to come in a spiritual and special way to assist us here upon earth. Secondly, the ground of expectation. The ground of expectation. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. And we see here in this verse the ground of his expectation. Why he had this confidence the Lord would come and his salvation. And why we further can have this expectation that Jesus will help us tonight. And Jesus will help us tomorrow. It's here in the text. Two things. First of all, God's mercy or grace. God's mercy or grace. And secondly, God's word. Here is the ground of expectation. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Now he focuses on the mercies of the Lord. The kindness, the favour, the grace of God. And he's in expectation and he pleads for grace. And he's confident that God in a gracious way will bestow God's mercy or grace. Now just come over the page to verse 77 and you'll see this here. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Thy tender mercies. Verse 76. Let I pray thee thy merciful kindness. Now the translators are very helpful here to open up the Hebrew. We think of mercy, we think of the grace, the favour of God. Let I pray thee thy merciful kindness be for my comfort. Thy mercy, we plead for grace, and the ground of our expectation is God's grace. When we begin to plead for grace, we believe because of grace, he will show his hand of salvation. Now we have here the word from the Hebrew translated here in the plural. Let thy mercies come unto me. What plenty. See how his soul is stirred. He's in expectation because of the abundant grace of God. What plenty. What an infinite abundance of mercy, of kindness, of grace. The Puritan Thomas Manton, the expression is plural. To note the plenty and perfection of this attribute of God. Let thy mercies. And when we think of his infinite grace. And the great storehouse of mercy. And his favour which keeps continuing to flow towards us. Is that not a ground of our expectation? Consider him who is infinite in grace. And his dealings with you so far in a gracious way. You can be in expectation of deliverance, for help, for divine assistance. Oh, how he favours us again and again. How his mercies reach us in our every situation. He is the God of plenty. Oh, we can be stirred up, thinking of such grace, to expect deliverance. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5, we have these words. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. Consider him your heavenly Father. He's a Father of mercies. He's so abundant in his grace. Does that not give us a ground of expectation? The psalmist did not think of any merit in himself. No, his eye was focused on God's abundant grace. You recall what we sang a few moments ago in Psalm 106 verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. There it is. He's thinking of grace and he's praying for grace. And in view of grace he pleads, visit me with thy salvation. Think of the grace of God as you make this plea and be in expectation. tonight, just pause on your journey and focus on the grace of God. If the Lord spares, you can again get out of your beds tomorrow and continue on in this wilderness. Just think of God's grace. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Here is this ground of expectation. Have you this expectation that Jesus in a special way will come to your heart again tomorrow and assist you? Because you're focusing on the grace of God. Secondly, God's word. And we particularly note this here. According to thy word, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. God has promised. And because of the word of truth, we are in expectation. Just notice verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Because of God's word, we can be in expectation that deliverance, that the salvation of the Lord will come to the door of our hearts. Psalm 50 verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I will deliver thee. The Lord puts it so plainly. Oh, that our eye would so focus on that we would put doubts to one side, that we would turn a deaf ear to Satan, and that we would be at the feet of Jesus listening to his word, I will deliver thee. David felt his weakness, yet he was resting in the promises of the word. When you feel your weakness, rest in the promises of God's word. When you feel you're in the fierce, thick of the battle, rest in the promises of God's word. I will deliver thee. That's the promise to you tonight. And it's a gracious promise, isn't it? I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We will be found giving praise to the Lord. That's what we will be doing throughout all eternity. With Jesus in full view, God's salvation, we will be glorifying him for the many deliverances he granted us. He will fulfill his word. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver. In his good time, he will deliver. You can be assured, you can have this expectation of God's salvation because of his very word. Is not the Lord gracious to us? In grace, he has opened our eyes. We've received the word of God, not as the word of men, but as the word of God, like they did in Thessalonica. He's opened our eyes to see the truth of this, and he's given the word that we might be helped through the wilderness and through the storms of life. I will deliver. We can be in expectation because of the word. Psalm 89 verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. I do not know how things have fared in Parliament, but how often things are altered. The Prime Minister speaks, but later it's altered. What a comfort that what the Lord has said will never be altered. My covenant will I not break, nor to the thing that is gone out of my lips. He will not turn his back on the covenant of grace. Christ met the condition, and God is so gracious, he could never turn his back on the covenant. He will never alter any of the promises, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. To preserve you, to help you, he will never change his word on that. Despite our failings, despite our backslidings, he will not break the covenant, nor will he alter one word. Therefore, we can be in expectation that he's going to help us. He will never change. How people change. How we change. I do not know when you last looked at some photos of when you were a little younger. The years pass and changes come. I look quite different to when I was a boy and then a little older. Not so much hair now. A little older in the face. How we change. But God does not change. And so we can be in expectation. He'll never change one word. I will deliver thee, he says in Psalm 50. He'll never change that. And so you plead for God's salvation in expectation of his word. God's word is a ground of our hope. God's grace and God's word is true. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises, every one of them, in him. Think of your head and representative. All the blessings flow through him. And all the promises have been and will be fulfilled in him. In him. That's a ground of expectation in and of itself, isn't it? Think of Christ, your covenant head, and expect deliverance. God's word is a ground of our hope. Listen to John Newton. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. You see then, Newton, he knew the truth of what the psalmist was saying here. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. Our expectation is secured in the word of God. Thirdly and finally, the gracious application. Let's go back and consider the humble plea. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Let thy mercies come. That's our prayer, isn't it? Let them come, Lord. Let the mercies of thee, let thy salvation come and meet me. Let mercies fall on my head as the snow comes down on the head of the children. Let thy mercies come. We want to feel the mercy of God. We want to hold Christ. Let thy mercies come also unto me. Here's the plea, and there's a gracious application. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. He believes he's going to be doing those things because he knows a little about his God. There will be a gracious application. He pleads for something he knows will come. We have his expectation. He's pleading with the Lord. He's in expectation. The follow-up is this, that the gracious application is known. God's mercies come. He's not in doubt here. God's mercies came upon him. Do not we see that here in the remainder of the psalm? His soul is lifted up. The Lord's helping him to so focus in this time of difficulty. His favour, that is God's favour, is bestowed upon us. The rivers of God's mercy still flow towards us. What do we sing in Psalm 23 verse 6? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely. I never forget my grandfather on his 90th birthday. He read out those words, surely goodness and mercy. He paused. And he cried, but then he composed himself, and with joy he finished those words. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and God's mercy followed my grandfather, and now he's rejoicing in heaven. God's mercy comes. God's salvation is known. God's mercy, God's favour keeps flowing. Despite our backsliding, despite our failings, there's never a stoppage of the grace of God towards you and me, dear brothers and sisters. Deliverance will come. Thy mercies come also unto me. Let thy mercies come also unto me. Let them come. Help will arrive at your heart in the battle. When you're facing your foes and you war with sin within, help will come. Your soul will be preserved. You may be struggling in a battle. God's mercies has come. God's salvation is known. Your soul is being preserved. What a thought this is. In view of certain of these things, every moment, God's salvation is reaching your heart. What a comfort that is. We plead for it, it comes. When you're pleading for God's salvation, it's already come in some way. Your soul is preserved. In the last valley, salvation will come. On that great day, salvation will come. There'll be the redemption of the body. What glorification. You pray for the redemption of your body. Be in expectation. On that day, you will have such a wonderful body. A glorious body. There is the gracious application. And it's gracious, isn't it? Let thy mercies, let thy favour, in favour then, bestow blessing upon me. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. How amazing this is. God is so holy, yet he's so full of grace, and his gracious benefits, the things he bestows, comes to the door of your heart each and every day. But then further as we close, the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Now he lives within our hearts. Christ liveth in me. Oh, that I would remember that more often. That there is a King in my heart. But as we see in the light of Song of Solomon chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 3, there are times from another viewpoint or perspective that he comes in a special way. Yes, he's in our hearts, but he comes in a special way. Let thy mercies come also unto me. And Jesus himself comes. He stretches out his hand like he did for Peter. Matthew 14 verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and saith unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You're sinking. But Jesus comes. God's salvation comes. And he takes hold of your hand. He stretches it out. What grace. What condescension. What compassion. You think when somebody stretches out their hand to help someone else, it speaks of compassion, doesn't it? It speaks of favour. Oh, what a blessed Redeemer we have. He comes and he stretches out his hand in a compassionate way and he takes hold. He stretches out his hand like he did for Peter. Secondly, he comes and stands at the door of our hearts and he knocks. Revelation 3 verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He did in an initial way. But in context of Revelation, he comes in subsequent times as well. He comes and he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. Yes, he lives within your heart, but in another perspective, he comes to the door of your heart and he knocks. He sees you in need. He sees the need you have of him. God's salvation comes. And he wants to dine with you. He wants to comfort you. To assist you in affliction. To renew the promise that all will be well. That you will be delivered. He comes. Oh, to be more aware of his approach when he comes to the door of our hearts. He comes and stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. Thirdly, he presents himself, we having been directed to him. Song of Solomon 3 verse 4, It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. I found him. There may be times when you're praying, but you're struggling in prayer. You may be distracted. We're praying that the Lord's salvation will come, but you're distracted and your prayer isn't what you would have hoped it to be. But then he presents himself. He comes. You've been directed. Turn to the word. Listen to the preaching. As we see in Song of Solomon chapter 3. And then Jesus presents himself. God's salvation has made himself known to you. And blessed are those times. We're wading through the storms. Wading through the rivers of affliction. When we're aware of Jesus, that he's come, you make your plea for God's salvation, and who ultimately comes? It's Jesus himself. It's Jesus himself that comes. Your covenant God will not turn a deaf ear, but in condescension and in accordance to his sovereign will, and in his inerrant word, will answer your humble plea. So in the storms of life and in the battles you face towards home, look out for God's salvation. And you make this humble plea. Be ready to meet Jesus in a spiritual way here upon earth. Yes, we prepare ourselves to meet him at death. When we shall, with the eyes of our soul, see his lovely face. We prepare ourselves to meet him on that great day with eyes of flesh. Then we shall see him. But prepare to meet Jesus in the battles you face, in the storms you encounter. Prepare to meet Jesus. Make your humble plea for Jesus tonight. And he will come. And let's be thankful. It's not on the strength of our prayers, but it's according to grace. You may at times feel you make your petition, but oh, it's not what I want to pray. It's not adequate. It's not on the strength of our prayers. It's according to grace. I pray tomorrow. You are aware of Jesus Christ coming to help you through another day. Let us pray.